we don't necessarily have that right now. And I hope both of them get there, but, and maybe you can't get one without the other, but I don't know. I sound pretty bleak, don't I?
Yeah.
Like, I'm in a good mood. I love talking to you guys.
Get help.
Yeah.
They're there for you.
I can't speak to how every Arkansan and Arkansas fans feels about their football team, but I would say it's more skewed negative than positive.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, I don't know how you could be overly optimistic based on what you've seen the last 13 years.
All right, well, I don't think there's a better intro than that. Ty Richardson, Morning Rush, what's up, buddy?
What's up, guys? It's good to be back here again, man. Good old Nashville SEC tournament.
Oh, it is good. It's always good. When I think about media days, like the original time I went, what was it, Atlanta, I believe? Ty was the
Still
one
can't
that,
believe they let us in.
I can't, but...
Well, they
Ty
let me
was
in,
the first so. One that came up to me and was like, hey, Cousin Shane. I was like, holy shit. Arkansas guys knows me. That's what I thought at first, you know. So I always be indebted to that. But for that, I've always followed you, man. I'm anything that you put out, Arkansas. Even we were just talking golf. Anything you throw out, I'm always going to give it a listen. So I appreciate you.
I appreciate it. So I've told you guys numerous times how much my brother loves y'all's content, and I've obviously followed it for a while. Me and Mike used to work together, so. I've heard obviously the stories. I've watched it plenty of times. So that first interaction was definitely a good time. And since then, your perception of me has just gone downhill, hasn't it? It's just like,
I did want to ask you though, because you were talking about first impressions, yeah. And we're going to get into some football talk. Silverfield. I mean, to go from Silver Bullet to Silverfield. What was my first impression was I had to pause it for a minute. You know, I was listening to his introductory talking about spring ball.
Yeah.
I had to pause it for a little coach speak, but what are you seeing from him right out of the gate? You seeing a rejuvenized, kind of football here?
Well, it's energy. So oftentimes ADs, they go the complete opposite end of the spectrum. Pittman, slow draw, whatever. And there's no right or wrong. Like coaches, a lot of like, good. I know plenty of good coaches that are very meticulous, very slow, very methodical, and then others are boom, 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 and there's no necessary correlation to the winning aspect. But no, it's definitely different. It's different in Fayetteville. Different doesn't always mean good. But I think he is at least trying to convince everyone that he feels like he can win. Now, again, the terrain in Fayetteville is difficult from a recruiting standpoint, where you are in the pecking order of the SEC. I think the next round guys put out that graphic. Arkansas is one of the worst top 25 teams since the college football playoff in terms of winning percentage. So it's just not a great place. You go 2-10. There's not a lot of optimism around the program right now. The memes that have been kind of out there with Silverfield, anytime something happens, like when he wins a recruiting battle or something, it's either Silver Keen or you got Silver bleeped. And so I don't know if he likes that or not, but it's kind of what's been making the rounds amongst Arkansas fans.
Well, what do the fans think about him saying, hey, this is going to be the smartest team. We're going to have the highest GPA. I mean, yeah. That's usually the talk you hear when the coaches in trouble on the field.
Yeah, well, I'll give him this. Like, from a turnover and penalty differential, I don't have the statistics in front of me, but Memphis was really good on turnovers, forcing them, and also not turning the ball over. Arkansas was terrible at both of those categories. Mm-hmm. They were the worst team, I think, in the SEC in forced turnovers, and I also believe they were the worst in that, and then combined turnover differential. So, from a technique and fundamental standpoint, he can at least back up that pedigree at Memphis. Now, you're going from Memphis to Arkansas, which is a big jump, albeit Memphis has beaten some SEC teams these last few years. I just think, like, you've got a basketball team right now. We're here in Nashville at the SEC tournament, top 3 seed. You've got a baseball team that is started a little slower than people want, but they're still a top 5 team in the country, and people are still up in arms about that. So you've got some positives around the other sport, which could be good for football, kind of going under the radar a little bit, because the last thing you need is a lot of negative headlines coming out of spring. I don't know what positive headlines can come out of spring anymore. Yeah. I know that there's no spring portal, so you're not going to get the negative ones necessarily unless there's an injury, but at least guys aren't going to be leaving in mass exodus like we've seen the last few years. But I do wonder what kind of push and umph the football team can get post spring practice.
It's kind of cool that you mentioned that, because that's something he brought up in that presser 2 days ago was, you know, it's without that spring portal, you know, you can't just say, well, left guard's not working, let's go to the portal and find one. You got to make it work. So with that being said, do you think that would help a team like Arkansas that really needs probably, I don't want to call it development, but, you know, I feel like that's what's going to have to happen mm-hmm. here. Do you think having no spring portal is beneficial for a team like Arkansas, or does it hurt because he's trying to fill some holes?
I think it allows coaches to coach harder.
Yeah.
Because kids can't leave until January 2nd. Isn't that the new start of the, mm-hmm. So you get from, unless you're graduates, I guess, you get from the 6th or 17th after the close of the portal till the next year, basically, to coach how you want to coach.
Yeah.
Now, that kid can still leave. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but coaches are, like, in their minds thinking, if I'm coaching this kid too hard, he could leave a semester. To your question, Shane, about the idea, could it help Arkansas? I think there's pros and cons to that from both sides. You lose a kid, well, you used to be able to replace him. Now you can't. But there's also, hey, we really got to develop this kid. We can't just go into this lackadaisical or not half-ass it, because if he isn't ready by fall, we're not going to be good in that position. Arkansas is behind in a lot of different areas. Most 2-10 teams are. You hope this process is ramped up, because come the second week, I mean, you got the throwaway game first week, and then you've got Salt Lake City and Utah, and the Georgia Bulldogs coming to town week 3.
Yeah.
So there is no grace period. There's no waiting period. It's basically you get a weekend the season, and then you're hitting it.
Mm. And I don't know if you saw, I assume he did an article. I didn't read the article, but he was on Feinbaum, Brett McMurphy. You know who that is?
I know who that is, but what did he say recently?
He was in, I guess, Vegas talking mm-hmm. to odds makers. And because we discussed it on our show, there's only like 5 or 6 teams in college football that are going to be favored in every single game they play. And wouldn't you know it, Utah is one of them. Isn't that insane?
Wow.
But he also made the point that, according to the odds makers, Arkansas is about the 25th best team. Now they do it different. It's called power rankings, right? So it's a gambling thing. But the point is, Arkansas is only going to be favored in two games by only 3 points when you're talking, I think, power opponents, not the non-conference. Uh-huh. But the point being is, Arkansas once again got the shit draw. You're getting a team that is favored at every damn game. And, if Arkansas was in a Big 12 or whatever league they're in, maybe it's a different story, but mm-hmm. they're in the SEC where you got to go through a damn gauntlet. So, man, I don't know. Do Arkansas fans ever hit their head against a wall being like, why the hell are we in the SEC?
Oh, that conversation happens all the time. You don't think it's ever going to change. And you like where you are financially, because if you look at the sports on campus outside of football, now football's the main draw. You guys make your money based on SEC football. The majority of us would not have a job without SEC football. But the SEC football money has helped Arkansas get ahead in other sports, like softball. And we've seen with the baseball team and the basketball team is pre-money. They've been good for a while. But there are sports on this campus that have benefited because of that. And so your football team has suffered. I don't remember the exact record of the SEC, but it's below 500. They've had one above 500 SEC season since 2012, and that was 2015. That St. Brett Bielema team lost to Toledo and Texas Tech, albeit Patrick Mahomes, but they went 8. That was the good year, 8-5. Yeah. So there is, like, when I hear you guys are obviously ball homers to what you call yourselves. And when I remember when Tennessee fans complained, or like Tennessee fans complained about this past year, and I'm thinking to myself, you don't know what pain is. You really don't in football. Like, and I realize Butch Jones, Derek Dooley, those were some rough times, but you got this guy, Josh Heupel, takes you to college football playoff. You finally get the Alabama monkey off your back. Arkansas still hasn't.
Yeah.
We haven't beaten them since 2006, 20 years. And now we didn't play them last year. So it is. There is no, like, the term, the Vanderbilt of the SEC, first off, used to be a diss. It's not anymore based on what Clark Lee has done here lately. Arkansas, if you want to put someone in that category, it's Arkansas.
Yeah.
And there's no debate. There's no pushback. There's no one at the University of Arkansas that's employed that could deny that because it's true. Now, they may have better facilities. They may have better football tradition. But when you look at what happened when Missouri and Texas A&M came in the SEC and the additions of Texas and Oklahoma, I don't – the only other debate, I guess, would be Mississippi State.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And they came to Fayetteville and won last year.
Yeah.
So they've done it last two of the 3 years. So – they beat a bad Arkansas team 7-3. So
I was just saying, yeah. That was the remember the 7-3 game? That was the worst game I've ever seen.
It was awful.
That game couldn't end quick enough. Right? Highlight reel was 10 seconds long. And I think it was a four. Was that the four-wheeler? No, he didn't come out in a four-wheeler.
No, that was Egg Bowl. Yeah. But that went up. I specifically remember, and correct me if I'm wrong, because maybe I am, but I think Mississippi State threw an interception deep in their own territory. And that's how Arkansas got the three. Like, I don't even think they got a first down on that three.
They turned Mississippi State over several times in that game, and the offense could not do diddly squat with it.
What a brutal game.
It was. I mean, guys, when I had some old heads tell me that is the worst Arkansas football game they've ever seen, they watched Arkansas lose to the Citadel.
Yeah.
The Citadel. And they said that game was worse because it was a conference opponent and you mustered 3 points against them.
I just feel like, you know, I don't want the white flag, you know, throw it. But it kind of feels like, let me take you back. One of my favorite memes I ever made was I had two guys sitting at a bar. Well, really one. He's a Tennessee fan. And he was holding the stool open for Arkansas. This is when you had Chad Morris when he, I think it was year two.
Okay.
And I was like, you know, pull up a seat. Come with us. Hang out. Like, we are the two losers at this bar. And I have a soft spot because we got out of it, right? Yeah. But I was pulling for you guys to do, and it felt like there was momentum. You know, Sam Pittman had a little bit of a flash in the pan there, especially after beating Texas. But then it's like, after that, it just has gone down. And then, you know, no offense, but when you're talking about, hey, we got a good basketball team, we got a good baseball team, you know, I would imagine the fan base is split, especially if there's old heads like me that remember the glory days, that remember the 90s when Arkansas had some really good football teams. They're saying, we can get back. We watch a team like Indiana, the second shittiest team in the country, win a national championship. Why not us? You know, we got Tyson, you know. So I'm just curious, are we in that mode right now, or is there, like, do you see, you know, in the distance, some light?
I think you've got to prove it. You mentioned Pittman's year when they go 9-4.
It's like called the suicide hotline.
Yeah, no. Don't do it. Every time, I always feel like I'm talking about, like, call your ex, like, man. She ain't worth it.
It's like I'm at the edge of the cliff, and Shane's like slowly approaching me. It's like, hey, come here, buddy. Okay. Come here. It's okay. No, that's I think you characterized it perfectly. You felt like after that 9-4 season in 21, Treylon Burks, All-American wide receiver, KJ had an unbelievable year, that they could do something with it. And they followed up with the 7-6 season, including multiple back-breaking losses. The Tennessee game, when they Arkansas, we beat you guys in 24. Nico had a guy in the end zone wide open, just didn't throw the football. What could have been another painful loss that year, and that was the best one of the year, and then they just, nothing happened after that. So there's been too many instances, and I don't know, there was a record from like 2012 to this past year of what Arkansas was in one score games, and it was atrocious.
Yeah.
It's awful to think about how many times they've been close and haven't come up. And that's a combination of coaching, athletes, luck, and a variety of things. But I think to your question, Shane, you need to have a coach that convinces you that we can win there. And again, I don't think Ryan Silverfield is distrustworthy or disloyal or lying to the people in a sense that he doesn't feel like he can win here. Now, it's one thing to think something. It's another thing to actually put forth a plan and go about it. And he seems to have his plan in place. I think it's unfair to judge him, even if they go 3-9, 4-8. Okay, it's over. This is not going to work, blah, blah, blah. But it's really hard for me to believe, in my opinion, that this is going to be successful. And it wouldn't have been him. I mean, they could have gotten a better – it wouldn't, in the minds of some, would have been a better coach, and I still would have been negative, just because it's been a negative consistency for Arkansas football for the better half of a decade, or more than a decade, boys.
Right, but it wasn't that long ago. Arkansas was basically same footing as Ole Miss, probably better footing than Missouri. And Missouri and Ole Miss, they've done really well. I think, obviously, the difference there is those two bought in heavily to NIL and the transfer portal. Mm-hmm. Not to say Arkansas didn't, because I think Sam Pittman and his staff did a good job identifying and bringing talent in.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, they made the right hires, and it's elevated them. Why can't that be Arkansas?
I think that's the question most people ask. And on Missouri's a newer connection. You get the battle line rivalry. But a lot of Arkansas fans, whether they want to or not, resonate with Mississippians being Ole Miss and where they were, and they perceive themselves as a better team and a program. And we saw what Lane Kiffin and then what Pete Golden was able to accomplish with those college football playoff games. That's the thought. The problem with that thought and theory is that all this past success that you may have had on another team, i.e. Texas A&M, Arkansas still leads that series. And yet A&M has won every game except for one since 2014. They lost one game to us in 21. Traylon Burks, thank you, TB. Mm-hmm. It's just a different era. And that's what I like. That in that sense, like, Ole Miss may have been a lesser program than Arkansas previously, but in this world, there's not a single kid that lives outside of Arkansas that if he had the choice between either school and you just ask him, hey, what would you rather go to? He's going to Oxford. And just a point blank kid, whatever. It's like, hey, what do you think? Would you rather go to Ole Miss or Arkansas? Kid's going to Oxford.
Now, is this before Lane Kiffin, or is it?
No. Because the Matt Luke and then the Chad Morris and prior to that, Arkansas. Like, I'll give you an example. My brother, who started a year after me, it was 2014, 2017. All 4 years they beat Ole Miss, four straight.
Mm-hmm.
Never lost to the Rebels. And there was a time when you had winning records over teams, or you had winning streaks over teams, and that has just subsided completely. It's gone.
Yeah.
So I hope that's what I hope Ryan Silverfield thinks, is that, hey, if Coach Cignetti can do it in Bloomington, Indiana,
yeah,
I can do it in Fayetteville, Arkansas. But I'll believe it when I see it.
No, but seriously, I on that note, it feels like it just needs like a little momentum, right? We saw it with Vanderbilt. We've seen it with Mizzou. We've seen it even with Ole Miss. It's like when we have a little success that hits, then all of a sudden the money comes out. Then all of a sudden the portal's a little bit more lucrative for a team like Arkansas. You know, so you got to find that optimism. But is it on this team? Because I was listening to Coach talk, and, you know, obviously we got a quarterback, quote-unquote, competition coming here. But as you're looking this roster up and down, optimistic, putting that hat on, if we're looking at it, we're saying, man, if this happens, I'm not saying we go undefeated, but I am saying that we may prove some doubters wrong this season, and then, you know, fast forward, maybe next season's the one that Arkansas makes a run at it.
They got to get another pass rusher outside of Quincy Rhodes. That's a key element. You got to hope that whether it's Hill or Jackson, one of those guys is not turning the ball over. And I love Taylor Greene, love what he did at the combine, love that he continues to rep Arkansas and say good things about the Razorbacks. He was mistake prone in 24. I thought it would be better in 25, and it just didn't take that substantial jump that it needed to. But I would say, like, they just, like, when you get pressure in the backfield, you change the entire outlook of the opposing offense, especially if you do it with four. Arkansas hadn't been able to do that consistently in a while because Landon Jackson or Quincy Rhodes or these guys that are good, they're NFL players, get double teamed, and Arkansas doesn't have any backup. So if you can start there on defense, that will kind of cloud maybe some linebacker or secondary deficiencies, and you can get away with some things. And then, I mean, they had a pretty solid offensive line last year for Fernando Carmona Jr., Corey Robinson. That was pretty serviceable. I would say that might even be an understatement. I would say from the defensive line, that's where I would start.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you just get some better production at wide receiver this next year, but there's, dude, Shane, I could go here. I could go here. I mean, it's not like we're going to Georgia and it's like, man, if they just figured this one position out, they're going to get back and Kirby's going to win third national championship. Yeah. It's not like that in Fayetteville.
But it all comes back to hiring, doesn't it? where they almost got Kiffin. I think they were after Drink, if I'm not mistaken, at some point. And then it was widely reported, right? Or I don't know, widely reported, but reported goalish to Arkansas. Mm-hmm. So again, it's like it's almost like you're missing out on your guy. But just because he's not the first choice doesn't mean it's Josh Heupel wasn't the first choice. So I think if Silverfield is the right hire, I think it can turn around.
And by the way, didn't Heupel hire, was it Ohio State's DC in the offseason?
Jim Knowles.
Mm-hmm. That's a hell of a hire. Yeah. You guys are going to have a defense this year, which I guess y'all are going to kick our ass in Fayetteville this year. you got to have the some good hire, good coordinators, good assistant coaches. Ryan Silverfield brought a lot of guys over from Memphis on his offensive staff. Tim Kramsey, quarterback coach as well. Defensive guy in Ron Roberts that knows the terrain of the SEC. Coordinators are big in this league. Rare is it that you'll have a Nick Saban that can just rotate through guys every other year. So you've got to have guys that know what they're doing, and hopefully that's the case in Fayetteville.
I mean, I got to ask, because it was asked about 15 times yesterday.
Okay.
KJ or AJ?
I think KJ Jackson's going to be the starter. I know that AJ Hill is really highly recruited out of high school.
And on that note, too, because a lot of folks listen to this, didn't watch a lot of Arkansas football, probably don't know. To go from Taylen Green to, let's say, KJ, what kind of style would we expect to see him? Is he more mobile? Is he, you know, what kind
of? More of a pocket passer, lefty. So you're going to, I've always liked lefty quarterbacks. Like, I had an affinity for Kellen Moore back in college. I just loved watching that guy play. And KJ's fun to watch. He looked good at times against Texas and Missouri last year. Hasn't played a ton of college football or SEC football, for that matter. But you're going to see more of a pocket. He's got some athleticism to him, but I think you're going to see more passing-oriented. And it's going to look a different offense under Coach Kramsey and Coach Silverfield than it did under Bobby Petrino.
Yeah.
Was that a big deal in Arkansas with the – who was it? Casey Dick got mad at
Silverfield? That's right.
And they for anybody that missed, they reclassified a quarterback, so now he's on – Arkansas roster, right?
That was actually discussed on Wednesday when Coach Silverfield met with the media.
Yeah.
He had mentioned that he had never once spoken to Chi or Che Hendricks, who's on staff at Arkansas, Hank's dad. Yeah. And this was brought to him, and he said that they went through all the proper protocols and whatnot. My guess, I don't know, I'm not going to pretend this is factual, but this is just a hunch I have. My guess is what Silverfield said's true. And they were going through the protocols, and one of the things they either didn't do or did late was inform Coach Dick this was going to happen. And he got mad. You'd be mad, too. You're a high school coach, and you're losing your senior quarterback threw, I think, for 3,000 yards the year before. It was a 4-star kid, and is one of the best QBs in the state. Yeah. I'd be mad, too.
I'd be mad, but I don't think I'd go to social media.
Social media, yeah, that's the thing. I got a quick story in a sec, but he has actually, and I forget the Texas job, he actually just took a high school job at Texas, which is where Casey's. I don't know if it's exactly where he's from, but he just took a high school job. Speaking to that, a lot of people don't know this story. I do because I went to one of the schools that was involved. So Hunter Henry, New England Patriot tight end, former Razorback Mackey Award winner. Nice guy. Good guy. Hunter, our senior year, was on Pulaski Academy when we were, I guess it was 2012. And again, recruited everywhere. Nick Saban tried to get him to Alabama. Didn't happen. Just could go anywhere in the country. Someone slashed his tires before the Little Rock Christian Pulaski Academy game or stuck a knife in him or something. And keep in mind, this is 13, 14 years ago. So a tidbit or two might have gotten lost in this. Mark Henry, who's an all Southwest Conference offensive lineman, and the pastor at my church, Fellowship Bible Church in Little Rock, put out on social media prematurely, said, "I feel bad for the boy that lights up in front of my son on Friday night." Now, they came out and obliterated us, and he pulled it back because I don't know if they ever figure out who did it. But that was really funny because I'm thinking, okay, this was already a rivalry, and by rivalry, they just kick our ass every year.
Yeah.
Now we're really going to get drilled. They went it back. Like, PA has these garage doors. This is one of the winningest high school football programs in Arkansas. And they went inside, and they had their traditional blue or gold on, I forget. They came out in pink. We lost by, like, it was 50-something that game. It was wild. This is a school that Kevin Kelly coached for a while that did the onsides, no punts type of thing. Right. And Hunter was a part of many great kids. And Coach Lucas, Anthony Lucas, is there now. So you just brought up the social media thing, and I thought about that story for a while back.
I love it. I love these rivalries. Mm-hmm. And I really have loved that Arkansas-Mizzou one that's kind of cranked up here. Just seems like pure hatred between those two fan bases. But do you think – I don't know. Do you think we're going to continue that run, or you feel like it's starting to separate a little bit?
Well, it's separated because Arkansas right. didn't win that game. They won in 15-21. Yeah. And drink Arkansan keeps coming in kicking your ass. I mean, it's the same. I was so mad. So my co-host and boss, Tommy, Drink has a connection that his family and Tommy's family or whatever. Like, I hate that I like him because he talks crap and then he backs it up, at least against Arkansas. Not always in some other games, but I mean, he's taking Missouri consistent. I don't know if anyone's going to get him to where Pinkle had him to the SEC championship game back-to-back years, but Drink's a really good college football coach. And it drove me nuts. I tell Tommy that day, and that was like, why are you fraternizing with the enemy? I mean, there is not maybe Kiffin now he's at LSU, and I didn't love him in Oxford, but now he's at LSU, which in some people's minds is a bigger rival to Arkansas because of the Golden Boot. Mm-hmm. Like if Kiffin came over to our table and started chapping, I'd get up and leave, or I wouldn't say anything. Like there's a certain, and that's not him, but it's like, it's the off, you know how you're supposed to respect the office of the president, regardless if it's a Republican, Democrat, like if it's Joe Biden or Donald Trump or whoever, like that is, I would respect it, whoever. If I got invited to the White House, I don't care who it is, I'm going. But for my SEC rival, I don't give a damn who it is. I don't want to talk to them. It's like you kick our team's butt every year. Why do I want to talk to you about anything? Like that's just where I come in terms of like a face-to-face conversation.
Well, speaking of rival, if I can put you through your own personal hell, yeah. Perhaps who's more likely to win a national championship first? Because they both seem to be on the right path.
Okay,
Texas. Or Texas A&M. And not who you want, because I know...
yeah.
I don't know if there is a want there, but...
I think it's... I mean, Texas is going to be preseason top five. I don't know if they'll be one again, but... Arch got going against us. That's for damn sure. He started to get going a little bit at the end of last year. So, I would think that it's Texas.
But what if they don't do it this year? I think then, everyone could get fired. You know?
Sark could be gone. I'll say this, man. Marcel Reed... actually, funny enough, his dad, Rod Reed, was the old TSU coach. And when I worked here in Nashville, I used to do his radio show. I used to produce his radio show with Greg Pogue and Coach Reed. And he's really nice guy, really awesome. So I shot him a text before the A&M game. I was like, I don't usually do this with A&M quarterbacks and players. But I just want to say, Marcel's been so fun to watch this year. Best of luck on Saturday. And of course, who won?
Yeah.
Texas A&M. but yeah, that's going to be a fun game because I guess it was in College Station. Now we'll be in Austin. I would think that...
No, this year it's back in College Station.
Is it back in College Station? Yeah, you're right, because they had it in Texas. I forgot about that. I would think that you'd probably get the upper head edge to Texas, but maybe Texas A&M pays it back from what happened at the end of last year. Were they undefeated going to that game?
Yeah.
Weren't they? Yeah.
Texas beat them.
Maybe they pay them back
a little
bit.
And then they lost in their playoffs. So it's like they lost the two most important games.
That Miami game, man, that was a back and forth. And I guess that freshman whiz kid made that touchdown at the tail end of the game. So that was a crazy game.
And I don't want to compare because this is an unfair comparison, but it just dawned on me. That was the same thing Nick Saban at Alabama. His second year, he went undefeated, but then lost in the SEC championship. And then lost to Utah when they were like a minor league team. And I remember all their fans, they were like, he lost the two damn games that matter. Like, good God, Alabama fans got it good. And then they went on that epic run. So but maybe A&M will.
Think about that. That they lost, I think the quarterback on that Utah team was Brian Johnson, if I remember that right. Florida team obviously lost to Tim Tebow.
Right.
And then 2009, national championship. 2010, McElroy's talked about that. That was just a weird, the guys got cocky. They lost to, I think, South Carolina. Should have lost to us. They lost to Auburn, and they lost, I think, one other team, maybe LSU that year. Win in 2011, win in 2012. Could have gone in 2013 if not for this kick six. Final four in 2014. 2015, they won it all. 2016, runner-up. I mean, they were just there every single year. And Mac Jones, maybe the best Alabama team ever. A couple years later with Devontae Smith. So that run that he pioneered and orchestrated just to keep that consistency with all the staff turnover, especially when Kirby goes to Athens, is right next door. Mm-hmm. You got to play them a lot of times. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it was a machine, mm-hmm. just an absolute machine. It's a clinic, and that everybody's trying to duplicate it, which I just can't see it ever mm-mm. happening. But
we got the worst of it too, by the way. we did. Think about it. There's no one that suffered more at the hands of Nick Saban in Alabama than Arkansas and Tennessee.
Yeah.
You guys beat him once. We never beat him.
Yeah.
Since he was in Tuscaloosa. There's no one that suffered. There's no fan base. People could say Auburn. Malzahn got him 3 times.
Yeah.
Y'all got him once. We did not get him 1 time. Until I'm still salty about that. I hope he sees this. Probably chuckling seeing this. It's just like, good grief.
I'm glad he's out. I'm glad he's out. And then the rumors are floating up every year about him coming back. We don't want that. But something else we don't want back is Jerry's World. So how was that not going down to Dallas for once?
That's the contract came out that it started, I guess, in 2008. They do 2009, 2010, 2011. Then there's a 2-year blip when A&M comes in the league. We go to College Station. Johnny puts 52 on us. They come back here. It was actually a good game my freshman year. And Johnny, I think, beat us by 10 or 12 or something like that. Then it happens again from 2014 through 2024. And, man, when I tell you, there's not a rivalry in college football that a team found a way to lose more games against the opponent than Arkansas and Texas A&M. I can
Tennessee
catalog. y'all going to the swamp. I felt, because we have a friend, Bruce Stanton, who works with Pradco Fishing, and he's a big Tennessee fan. And like even when Florida was bad, he never felt good about going down there. And that's I got a hot take about that.
Picked Florida to beat Tennessee this year.
Did you really?
They don't win down there.
But they're just, man, they've kept losing. To your question about Jerry, I keep doing these long-winded things. I love going to Jerry World. I'm so appreciative of Jerry Jones and the Jerry Jones family, what they've done for Arkansas. But it was time. I would feel the complete opposite way if they won all those games, but we lost all of them. So it was time to pull the plug and let's get back to playing in Donald W. It's supposed to be 80,000 with standing room, but we still haven't seen that yet.
Does that change, though? Because, I mean, Tyson is putting their name on the jerseys now. So when I saw that, the first thing I thought was like, oh God, they're going back to Texas.
I don't think so. I know that people are really happy that John Tyson, and I mean, he's doing the Phil Knight and Cody Campbell method. Now, Campbell's a lot younger than Phil Knight and Phil. I think John Tyson's a lot younger than Phil Knight, but John Tyson wants to see this football program have some success and football and basketball. You've seen it in basketball. His friend John Calipari's orchestrating and heading up the team. But you get these old guys like, you could listen. Why give money to your family? We can give money to your favorite football team. I mean, come on. You gotta pay. What's the inheritance tag? Throw that out. Just give money to your favorite football team. They don't need it. Just give it to your favorite football team.
Do you see, there's so many places to go with Arkansas. I love talking Arkansas. I want you guys, like I said, I want you guys to get back on that mountain because football's just better. SEC football's better when Arkansas football's there. If this Silverfield hire does not work, how?
Sorry, kicking him out the door.
I know. He's
undefeated.
No. Well, you mentioned Calipari. Calipari's a splash hire, right?
Yeah. That's Hall of Famer.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, you see around the league people going, LSU saying, you know what?
Yeah.
Brian Kelly didn't work. Let's get Lane Kiffin. I mean, could you imagine having that kind of money or that kind of initiative for your football team? And then we're like Silverfield, where we're all Googling where he came from, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to say this. If it doesn't work, how secure is Hunter's job?
It seems to me like the board of trustees trust him. But you know how that happens in college sports. It's like a flip in an instant. I mean, at one point, Hunter Yurcheck might have been the best AED in the SEC in the country. Think about it. 21, you had a 9-4 football team. You had an Elite Eight basketball team. And you had the number one baseball team in the country. within 21. There wasn't – Tennessee's had – I mean, I always say Danny Watt's the best AD mm-hmm. based on the football, basketball, baseball sustained success. I don't know how Elander's going to do post-Tony Vitello, but that core of Vitello, Barnes, and Heupel, is, you stack that up in any one of the country, and that's hard to beat. Arkansas, at least in that one-year window, was really good. And, again, the football program's just done a nosedive since, basically. I think if – It's so difficult to project what guys do in today's day and age with so many variables. But the ADs, we can talk about a variety of different things. The AD's number one job is to hire a football coach. Mm-hmm. So if you go, like, Morris wasn't his guy. He got there, I think, the day before, 2 days before it was announced, I guess. And then Morris was announced. That wasn't his hire. But if you go 0 for Pittman and 0 for Silverfield, that's two. A lot of ADs don't get more than one hire in football, yeah. Right?
Where I thought he was going to go was the speculation that Dabo was a candidate.
Oh.
Because Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
That's which, true.
That was kind of tossed. There were so many rumors.
You think there was any realistic thing there?
And
what Arkansas fans have signed up for that?
If you're Dabo Swinney, like, Cal looked at Fayetteville because of what Eric Musselman did. He talked about Eddie Sutton and Coach Richardson. There is a track record of you can win in this state. These fans care about basketball. There is studs in Arkansas in basketball. While there is a track record with Coach Broyles and the late Coach Holtz, and I guess obviously Coach Broyles passed away as well, and Coach Hatfield, it's been a while. And so these coaches that know, especially in like a Dabo Swinney's case, like that knows, like, I don't have that much time left. Like, don't want to get paid a lot of money to go to Arkansas, or do I either want to go somewhere else or stay put? He's obviously staying put. Hire Chad Morris as his OC. We'll see how that works out. But that was at least a thought. I don't know if it was real or not, Mike, but yeah, that was, we definitely talked about it. Mm-hmm. That was because just the idea, Hall of Famer Dan Van Horn, Hall of Famer and John Calipari, Hall of Famer and Dabo Swinney. Be nice to be able, if you're a 100-year tech, to basically have the Thanos rings, and be nice to have another one like that.
You see all these lists, best places to live, and Fayetteville's always, they're usually like number one, aren't they? I mean, is there any way that Arkansas can use that? I'm kind of surprised they haven't.
Well, so the only thing Arkansas, or Fayetteville, I should say, is missing is a quality football program. Good food, good nightlife. It's a little less affordable than it used to be, but you're referencing U.S. News. Typically on at the top of the list is Fayetteville, Arkansas, and all these SEC fans are like perplexed and like, why would you live in Podunk? Why would you want to live in a Podunk town like Fayetteville? One, it's not that. Most college campuses in the SEC nowadays, outside of what, maybe Starkville, are not that. I like Starkville. I'm not mm-hmm. saying that, like, but people yeah. think that. I actually enjoyed it. I had a great time in Starkville, but yeah, there's a lot of amenities, a lot of great things about the University of Arkansas. You've got so many bike trails. You've got a variety of different mountains and places that you can explore and stuff. I'd be a horrible recruiter because I'm not great at pitching this stuff. But
you lost me at bike trails.
Yeah, it's just like
I started zoning out.
Okay, golf.
It went from food to bike trails. Great, I was like, nah, this ain't
great
for
golf
me.
Courses, Shane. Okay, great golf courses. So he's back. But they just haven't been able to capitalize. But I mean, other SECs have a lot of this, towns have a lot of this stuff too. Kids want
not number one though.
That's true. Kids, but nowadays kids want money, and they want to win.
Yeah,
I don't know. And some have the one above the other.
Back in my day,
yeah, we don't necessarily have that right now. And I hope both of them get there, but and maybe you can't get one without the other. But I don't know. I sound pretty bleak, don't I? Yeah. Like I'm in a good mood. I love
800 to get help.
Yeah,
they're there for you.
I can't speak to how every Arkansan and Arkansas fans feels about their football team. But I would say it's more skewed negative than positive.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, I don't know how you could be overly optimistic based on what you've seen the last 13 years, 14 years.
It just drives me nuts because you referenced Ole Miss, mm-hmm. the turnaround they had. We're in Nashville. I remember, I think it was 3 years ago, 4 years ago, we had Peter Burns in here. And we were talking about everything but football. We said, hey, they need to put all their money into basketball, you know?
Yeah.
And then guess what? They turn around and almost made the college football playoffs last mm-hmm. year. It just seems like now more than ever, everybody has an opportunity, yet there are some teams that just don't. And I feel like that's where Arkansas is right now. But again, it could change. So I was trying to find the optimism. But I will tell you, as a Tennessee fan, Arkansas is the last team I want to play because it seems like every time we play, we usually lose. So
we had that streak on y'all for a while until last year.
That one hurt, man.
I will say this, first time in Knoxville this last year, so much fun. And we lost, I think, 31-34 or whatever. It was a 3-point game, but that was a blast. And I'm sitting next to, it's half Arkansas, half Tennessee fans that I went to the game with. And Rocky Top is just such a, I'll sing it. My boss gets mad at me because I'll hum it during the breaks of our show sometimes because it's a catchy tune. And I like I love our fight song, but that whole stadium echoes. But I do have one hot take for you guys. We were talking about Florida earlier. I went to Baton Rouge at night when Arkansas played, and they don't give a damn about playing Arkansas. They don't. LSU fans couldn't care less. And then I went to Florida when they were awful in 2023 under Billy Napier at home at 12 o'clock Eastern. It was louder for the Florida 12 o'clock game than it was the LSU night game versus Arkansas.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there because I went to both games in the same year. This wasn't like a 10-year window or something where my ears got leaped up or whatever. And I was sitting there, there's no way this is real. And it was. Mm-hmm. The swamp is, man,
yep.
And I think Summerall is going to get that thing going. That's a tough-ass place to play. They just have to play all these incredible non-conference games every in their own state, it seems like, every year.
People always give me hell when we do those lists in the offseason. Toughest places, I always mm-hmm. say Florida, number one.
It is.
And then you throw in the humidity, which I know it's humid everywhere, but it's on a different level mm-hmm. in there.
It was hot in November when Arkansas yeah. went November. And that's the there's Sanford Stadium in Georgia and Jordan-Hare Stadium. And I still haven't been to Hyatt Jordan-Hare Stadium because Auburn's been terrible both times that Arkansas's won there. Brian Denny's real cool, but Alabama's just Alabama. Those fans expect to win. Florida, man. Florida's and LSU was nuts. I don't want people think that like LSU's here and that Florida's like way up there. But if you asked me to compare, I'd put Florida up there,
yeah,
above them. No, which I never thought I'd say. But the swamp is something. And there's a bar there called oh goodness,
the real story.
No, oh, what's it called? I'll think of it.
What's her name?
But yeah, there are some beautiful. What was weird about the Florida? So. Going to all these college towns, Salty Dog Saloon, there it is. Going to all these college towns, win or lose after a game, you obviously have interaction with fans. I'm in Arkansas stuff all the time. I take my neutral media stuff off, and I throw on Arkansas stuff every time. And
we've seen you without that too.
Yeah,
I know that. Well, that's what I'm saying. He's never done that after a baseball game. You know,
just basketball. Haven't been able to in football because they don't win a lot. But the Florida gals were dog cussing me after the game. That's the only time, like, I and I'm friendly with guys, girls. I've had guys, girls buy me shots, whatever. Like, hey, good game, man. Here's, y'all had a rough season. Here, it's like pity shots. Or it's, hey, y'all beat us. Let's get you and your friends some shots. The girls were like giving me the bird and cussing at me and stuff. And yeah. I kept looking at my friends and it's like, yeah, they get really pissed. The Florida guy's like, yeah, they get really pissed after the games. There's no sense in Florida with it. I was like, okay. All right, man. Jeez Louise. So that was the only time that happened. So well, pretty hot stuff.
Like when I was young and they would talk about the swamp, they said, don't wear Tennessee gear mm-hmm. to the swamp. You know, it's one thing to have a jacket and then take it off or something along those lines, but he goes, they'll spit on you. They'll yell at you. They'll cuss at you. You know, you may get in a fight with you, you know? So I think the swamp kind of had that mystique to it coming into it, and they've lost it a little bit, right? But dude, when they got a good team, when they got a good game going on, that place comes alive.
It is. It's wild. And don't back, why am I blanking on, not Thomas Petty. Don't back down.
Tom Petty.
Richard Petty. Yeah, Richard. Yeah, not Richard Petty. That is really cool. And then you've got I guess Morgan Wallen in the third quarter in Knoxville. You've got Sweet Home Alabama and Tuscaloosa. Those SEC themes at the end of the third quarter with the whole stadium's doing it. Oxford turns off the lights. You got Toby Keith now, the late Toby Keith in Oklahoma. That is one of the coolest. It's just, you're not going to find that anywhere else in college football except in the South.
I was a little kid. I was at the Swamp. Someone poured a beer on me.
Did it really?
And I heard the same thing because my dad and some Florida people we knew, they said, don't wear Tennessee. I said, okay. So I bought a Florida State shirt and I wore that. So maybe I was asking for
it. That's funny.
I was a little kid, you know, so they still poured it on me.
That's so funny. Man, there's always seems to be that. So my cousin, she went to Texas and she came up in 21 when she would have been like a freshman or sophomore. And she texted me after the game. It's like, we've had so many older guys come up and cuss at us because her and her friends are in orange. I was like, geez, please. Like, I hope us Arkansas fans aren't that bad. And then I was with our Tennessee friends 2 years ago when they came down to Fayetteville and we're at this bar. And of course you've got two sweet, nice Tennessee girls. One's my buddy's fiance. They're getting married in a month. And the other's one of my friends and they're getting cussed. I'm like, guys, like we're all friends here. Chill. And it's just like, I guess SEC animosity is real.
Yeah.
Like we don't give a bleep. We will. And I say we collectively as Southern fans will go at one another. Yeah. And it's, earmuffs. You got to put the earmuffs on sometimes because otherwise you're going to hear some.
Do you like
words.
The fact that you're going to have those road games? Like, because now we're going to nine because we're going to have that rotation every 4 years. You're going to see every stadium. Are you for that or you kind of miss them old West days?
Man, the West days were fun when Arkansas was at least winning and being a little more competitive. But I mean, first time in College Station, the one in 2020 didn't really count because it was COVID. So you got that. Arkansas's going to play in Norman, which is going to be a lot of fun. I know there's some other games in the upcoming schedule that I'm just forgetting, but like, I think for a kid, it's like, okay, if you stay at one university 4 years, young man, you get to go to every SEC stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, just tell any kid it, and every coach gets to walk into a family's room. And it's like, you get to go to all these incredible venues if you stay here 4 years. Now, most kids aren't going to do that, but I like it, Shane. Yeah,
that's cool.
I don't know if you saw. I was looking up the over-unders. They put them out today. Have you seen it?
I mean, yes, Arkansas 4.5.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lowest, tied with Mississippi State, lowest in the conference. So this has been a very negative conversation. Let's be optimistically. What's Arkansas's record next year?
I think that 4.5 is pretty much spot on. It's either going to be 4-8 or 5-7. If they get to bowl eligibility, I'll be ecstatic. Got to give credit to Ryan Silverfield, KJ Jackson, or AJ Hill and his staff. But I don't. Again, I'm so negative skewed to this team right now. It's not this coaching staff's fault at all. Mm-hmm. It's the prior coaches, the prior players, and. Like, you're not going to, like, feed me all this stuff in the spring and tell me it's going to be okay only for me to watch the same thing in the fall. And I hope I always come to this when we're talking or I'm on the radio talking about, I always come into this is this. I'm going to tell you what I think, and if it's bad, I hope it's wrong. Because if it's bad and I'm wrong, that means Arkansas is going to be good and I can be in a better mood. But I don't think there's a lot of reasons based on that schedule and based on what's on the roster to sit here and tell you they're going to go 100% bowl eligibility or better in year one.
Well, maybe the more fair question, more wins or a higher GPA?
higher GPA. No, I guess it can't exceed 4 unless they're doing advanced classes. Yeah, so they'll get more wins than the GPA total, which their GPA will be low 3. So yeah, they'll get at least 4 wins, I bet.
Well, that's good.
That's something. It's better.
See, we're being positive.
My last one I got for you. You mentioned Florida bars. If I go over there and watch an Arkansas game, what bar should I hit over there?
Oh, we're gonna get you on the Hog at E-Hawk. I'm gonna text Shelby and I'm gonna say, hey, we need to take Shane and get him on the Hog. It's not a bull. It is a riding hog.
Ooh.
Mike didn't Pittman ride it once? No. He talked about it. I think after his hip surgery or something.
Was that media days?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wait. No, that's right. It was
they all had the riding bull. Yeah.
He had the funniest one-liner, something about, like, when this hip gets replaced or whatever. And he mentioned JB, his wife, like, a second or two later. He goes, but not like that. And we all died. He's, like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm going to miss him as a football coach. Because, like, he gave the best win winning season since Petrino in 2011. Mm-hmm. You can say what you want about Sam Pittman. They had the best season that they've had in 13 years when Sam Pittman was the head football coach. That being said, I am going to miss his one-liners and his dry humor.
Yeah.
And when he came on with y'all too, he was just like very much at ease, just talking to a couple fellas. And it was, I always made sure to watch those conversations when you guys had them with him.
Did you see him after he left, or did he sell the house? Did he move out?
No, he's still in Hot Springs. He was at the high school coaches convention. Like, this isn't one of those things where a guy, you felt like, hey, get the hell out of our state. Like, people still like the guy. Yeah. They just didn't think he should be our head football coach. And that was a thought that people had in some people's minds for a year. Some people's more than that. After the Notre Dame game, some people snapped to and said, hey, we need to fix this and figure it out. I don't think he's hated.
Yeah.
At least I don't hate him.
He's been pretty radio silent. I don't think he's given an interview.
You should reach out.
Yeah. I bet he talked to you too.
It'll be Rusty, or Rusty will get him for us.
Talking about Manziel.
Yeah. That's the only way it will happen, you know?
Yeah, we got some horse races coming up. We'll see him for long, you know.
Oakland, baby. Have y'all been there yet?
Uh-uh.
Have you guys been to Arkansas?
I've driven through it.
Accidentally went past Memphis. Yeah, missed the exit.
So this horse,
my wife, she wants to hit every state, right?
Okay.
And we were talking about Arkansas. She says, we gotta go to Arkansas. I was like, other than a football game, what's there to do in Arkansas?
There's plenty, Shane.
That's what I hear. She did some research. Apparently, there's like a place you can dig up diamonds.
Murfreesboro.
She says, we're going there. I was like, so your idea for our vacation is to go to Arkansas and dig in the dirt for a day. She's like, yeah, well, what if we find a diamond, you know?
I went one time. It's hot, mucky. I did not find a diamond, unfortunately.
All right. Well, we're here for the basketball tournament.
Okay.
Last thing I've got. John Calipari, does he take Arkansas to a Final Four or even a national championship? Not even this year, but this year would be great. But I'm just during his tenure.
I'm going to knock on this wood and say yes and hope of some luck. I don't think it's this year. I think this team's too deficient defensively. You don't necessarily have the post presence to do it this year. But I think Cal will at some point figure out the right structure. I think he's been reinvigorated in Fayetteville. I think it kind of ticked him off. Now, he did it to himself to a certain degree. The last 5 years, I think one NCAA tournament win. I think I have that right. Now, one of those years, I believe, was COVID, so you can kind of lump that in together. But they struggled in the postseason in Lexington the last few years. And in year one, even with all the injuries, he takes the team to the Sweet 16. They're a shot or two away from the Elite Eight. So the hope is yes. And I think Final Four, national championship, I know that's only one other game, but it's still, I mean, you got to get two wins from there. So I'll say at least Final Four, yeah.
Heck yeah. All right, Ty, really appreciate you coming in. Always a pleasure to hang out with you. Tell our audience how to follow you and how to find your work.
Yeah, I'm so used to saying Ty Sports Radio. I'm Shane and I were talking, been in golf now, try and play. I'm trying to play 100 rounds this year, so it's now Ty the Golf Guy. On
Ty the Golf Guy.
Ty the Golf Guy. It actually rings. Dang. I've got all my buddies, so I'm not good, but all my buddies give me a hard time about it because they're saying that I'm gatekeeping golf, which is not the case at all. It's just like, I thought this was a catchy name and I thought y'all would think it's funny. Turns out they just like to make fun of me for it, but it's a good time. Ty the Golf Guy, and still doing radio from 9 to 11 on ESPN Arkansas. That's the money, the passion's golf, Mike. This is your working for your money, and then you have your passion.
What's your best 18 this year? I'm just trying to figure out your handicap.
85. So I'm at 16. Okay. I'm not good. But we'll put this out in the ether now. SEC Media Day, Sunday. One of the big dogs. You just had Darian here. Peter Burns. Josh Pape. Let's do an SEC Media Days golf event. Get some big wigs. I'm sure Greg Sankey could pull some strings at a big local country club. I could probably figure it out near Tampa, and let's grip and rip and let's go.
The winner gets to donate to their charity of choice.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
In. Let's go.
I'm in.
All in. Push the chips to all the table. I had a buddy that just won $3,000 worth of craps in Fort Lauderdale last week. I'm going to say all in.
I'm due. I know.